Welcome to A Time for Change. I'm Marquise Francis, here with Alexis Christophorus and Anjali Kimlani. Today is Giving Tuesday, the annual day earmarked for donating to charities. Get ready for a big number, $471 billion. That's the total amount of money donated to charities in 2020 in the United States. On the heels of that record, there were also some grim stats, like how less than 0.5% of philanthropic dollars went to women and girls of color, or how 47,000 organizations focused on women and girls make up just 3.4% of all charitable donations given to these type of organizations within the U.S. Alarming statistics to some and a harsh reality to others. Here to talk through all of that on this Giving Tuesday is Miss Foundation Women President and CEO Teresa Younger. Teresa, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. So when you hear that number, $471 billion raised in all of last year, but then when you know women and girls of color are receiving less than 0.5%, I'm just curious, what's the first thing that goes through your head?
You know, when I heard that the first time, I think I was so shocked that I was like, what does that amount to? And we say 0.5%. In all actuality, that's $5.48 per woman and girl of color in this country. That's a cup of coffee. And that's all that we are investing in on the philanthropic side.
Absolutely. So I'm just curious, how does your organization kind of stop, you know, try to combat that, right? I know you all are speaking a lot to people, and obviously word of mouth is a big part of donations, but I also know that 2/3 of Americans donate to people they're just used to donating to, whether it's word of mouth from friends, family. How do you kind of supplement that with the work that you're doing?
So the work of the Ms. Foundation is to amplify and lift up the voices of women and women of color-led organizations throughout the country who are working to make systemic change. And one of the things that we offer to donors is to say to them, you don't have to have all the answers. You need to look at organizations like the Ms. Foundation, and we have vetted organizations that you can make a grant to us or give us a contribution, and then we will distribute them. So you can trust that the dollars are going to have the greatest level of impact, and we support grassroots movement building organizations throughout the country. And you know, we oftentimes, you know, try to give room for people to learn about organizations, but when you're trying to make a contribution, you have some dollars in your pocket, go to where you think the greatest impact is going to have. And for us, we believe that giving money to women and girls of color allows for the greatest level of impact. They have been the largest movement builders in almost every social justice movement that this country has ever seen. And so we're an intermediary. We raise the dollars that we move to the field, and we support and trust our grantee partners all across the United States and in the U.S. territories.
I love that you touched on impact, because I think it's one thing to hear a bunch of numbers. It's another thing to really understand the impact. And so I know this year alone already, your organization has raised $4 million. But what does that impact actually look to these women and girls of color? What does that impact actually look like?
So the majority of these organizations, we all know how challenging this time has been during COVID. So the money that we are able to move to our grantee partners, which are general operating support, so they're able to turn their lights on and pay their staff and move money to the field and help their communities in all of the ways that are most important. They're able to ask the questions that need to be asked. And that is really instrumental to having change happen the way we need it to happen. We have to learn to trust that our partners in the field know what they are doing and that they are actually closest to where the impact is being felt. So one of the things that we, you know, continue to stand up and support is that we're looking at generational change. We're not looking at something that's going to change tomorrow. So what's that investment look like to start investing in folks over years? And the majority of our grantee partners have budgets under $1 million. So the grants that we're able to make them ensures that they can keep their lights on, ensures that they can pay their staff, and ensures that they're able to service their communities, and then go to their own state capitals and work on the policies that need to make change happen in their communities.
Right. And I love the graphic that we're showing right now. I saw some gentlemen in the video wearing feminism shirts. And I think in some ways, shape, or fashion, we all should be feminists, right? Just the idea that women deserve an equitable and share in equal parts of this world and, of course, this country around us. And so just thinking, I love to look at the bit of cause and effect. So the philanthropic support for women and girls reached $7.1 billion in 2017, which is a large number to most people. But that made up just 1.6% of overall donations. So where do you find the disconnect from the people giving and it actually going to some of the organizations that are most in need?
Well, I think the reality is we have to be very intentional about where we are giving our dollars. Sometimes we just assume that we are giving our dollars to where it's going to have the greatest level of impact. And we assume that if we give our dollars to a hospital or a library or a university, that it's going to have affect women and girls. And that's actually not true. It is women's funds, it's the women's funding community, it's the Ms. Foundation that is very intentional about what we are striving to do. We are working towards racial and gender equity. And we believe that in order for us all to live our best lives, the one place we can drop the pebble in the pool of inequality is over women and girls of color. And the ripples that will come out of that will affect everybody in that pool, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person with disabilities, whether you're a gender non-conforming, there are a lot of LGBT, there are a lot of folks who are in this pool of inequality. And sometimes it's a class, sometimes it's race, sometimes it's gender, sometimes it's ethnicity, sometimes it's disability. All of those people need to feel the impact. And what we say to people all the time is, you don't have to know all the groups out there, but find a group like the Ms. Foundation for Women or other women's specific funds that are working towards gender equity and support those organizations because they will get you to the place you want to have the greatest level of impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get to the stat that you're seeing on the screen right now, because it's not all doom and gloom. I want to share some positive stats. Data shows that reproductive health organizations saw an 85% spike in donations from 2012 to 2017, outpacing general organizations and gender-based violence organizations. So what goodwill do you kind of pull from these numbers and the positivity of numbers, hopefully donations increasing over time?
So I think there's a reality around where these donations are going and where they're increasing. One is there's a greater level of awareness and acceptance around bodily autonomy and a recognition that we can control our own bodies and our own dollars that are affiliated with that. So it really is, I think, exciting and positive that in 2020 and 2017, we've seen this uptick in dollars going into the field around reproductive justice, domestic violence, raising a level of awareness and supporting those organizations. We need to continue to do that and support organizations that are looking at healing justice and environmental equity, reproductive rights and justice, looking at a whole cadre of issues. And what we do know also is that organizations that are doing this work in their communities are doing this work around multiple issues and using multiple strategies to have that happen. And so what we are seeing is, while you may be giving to reproductive justice or to domestic violence, they are also doing work that's looking at healthcare, and they're also doing work that's looking at voter rights. And we want to see dollars continue to go to those areas. And, the work of being a feminist, the work of supporting gender equity is everybody's role. Everybody needs to play and contribute to the movement towards gender equity across the board.
I really appreciate that. Teresa Yonger, Ms. Foundation, Women in President and CEO, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And still ahead, if you're thinking about giving, we have some tips on how and who to give your money to on this Giving Tuesday. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to A Time for Change. Today, as we've been talking about, is Giving Tuesday, the annual day earmarked for donating to charity. And it comes, of course, on the heels of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday. So I guess you can look at it as a chance to balance some of that consumerism by giving back. And last year on Giving Tuesday, a record $2 billion was donated in the U.S. alone. That's billion with a B. And if history repeats, the giving will keep going until the end of the year. In fact, according to the group nonprofit Tech for Good, nearly one-third of all donations actually come in the month of December, 12% in the last 3 days alone, Anjali.
That's right, Alexis. And here to talk about all of that and more is who's giving and who's getting is Sona Khosla, Chief Impact Officer of Benevity. Sona, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to get right into it. Benevity is a unicorn software company, giving us a quick snapshot on what that company does. Tell us why there's even a need for this.
Yeah, I mean, we need to be giving because the world is more in need now than it almost ever has been. So, you know, last year we saw a record amount of giving, but this year haven't quite seen that sustained. So Giving Tuesday is going to be a really important day to get those giving levels back up.
Definitely. So, Sona, and I want to talk about...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anjali.
Thanks, Alex. No, I just wanted to follow up on that, you know, talking about being able to monitor that and as well as accountability. I think, you know, specifically when we talk about accountability of donations, one of the particular categories you've noted is vaccine equity. It's been a top donation category because of the pandemic. So who are these recipients of these donations? Tell me about what you're able to track and monitor about how those donations are going and how it's being utilized.
Yeah, absolutely. So vaccine equity became quite a big cause earlier in the spring when vaccines were rolling out primarily in higher income countries. At that time, we saw about a 10-time spike in donations to organizations like Go Give One, UNICEF, Gavi, COVAX. So a number of organizations who are working on distributing vaccines to lower income countries. And that's really important because, you know, while 56% of people worldwide have received a dose, less than 1% of vaccines have been administered in low-income countries. And so we're starting to just monitor the levels, and it's been fairly steady since April, not as high as it was then, but we're starting to see corporations step up and run matching campaigns and initiatives to support vaccine equity and support these causes.
So I want to talk a little bit about what Benevity is seeing right now, because you have a unique window onto charitable giving, because your platform works with some of the largest companies in the world. You've got Apple, Nike, Microsoft among your clients, and you're a platform for corporate giving. And I know that last year was a banner year for corporate philanthropy. This year, not so much. Tell us what you're seeing in terms of maybe themes throughout the companies that you work with when it comes to corporate giving.
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of requires us to put 2020 into context. It was an extraordinary year on many fronts, and giving was no exception. And most of that response was in response to the pandemic and the racial justice movement. So last year, companies really stepped up and got more people involved by running special matching campaigns for COVID relief or social and racial justice. And that drove a significant amount of giving in the last year. This year's been a bit different. We have seen less special matching campaigns run by companies. And we know that that drives the number of people who get involved, but also the amount that they give. So overall, we're seeing people in companies giving about 17% less than they did last year in this way. So we're also seeing fewer people giving to causes that mattered just a year ago, such as racial justice. So for example, in June 2020, social and racial justice causes made up about 50% of the donation volume on our platform. That dropped to about 5% 6 months later and has stayed at that level since.
I want to go back to vaccine equity for just a second, because I'm so glad that it's something that you have a window into. I think there's so much discussion, especially around how the U.S. government has been handling it and how other larger organizations around the world handle it. So tell me, from your vantage point, do you see where there might be gaps that can be bridged in terms of where donations are going versus where they may need to go in order to help sort of, you know, see an equitable distribution?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people tend to give to the causes that matter to them specifically. That's what we see, right? You're more likely to put your dollars to the local communities that you're in or the causes that you care about or have touched you personally. I think what we're seeing is that we need people to be thinking much more collectively, much more globally about issues that may not affect them personally, but affect our global community. And that's why, you know, campaigns around vaccine equity are incredibly important. And it's important for us to remember that, you know, we're still in this together, even as we end up in these, you know, varying degrees of return to normal. It really does require a collective mindset and collective action. So I would really encourage people to think about the fact that $5 can get someone in a lower income country access to a vaccine, whether you do that through GoGiveOne, through UNICEF, or through any other of the global organizations working on this, matters less than actually starting to shift your behavior from the things that you tend to do to the things where your support is needed.
Sona, what can companies do to get more engagement with the employees when they want sort of collective giving? You know, what's important to employees? What are they looking for? What incentivizes them, you know, to dig a little deeper into their pockets?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, we know that employees are looking to have more of a meaning, more purpose, more impact through their companies. So first of all, companies need to make sure that they have goodness programs or purpose programs where they're doing, you know, donation matching or volunteering, enabling their people to support the causes that matter to them most. Also, you know, enabling people to take action through their jobs. So that's the most important thing is, you know, as a corporation, do you have a program? The second thing we hear most is that most people aren't even aware that their company offers those rewards or programs. So companies really need to step up their communications and let people know that they have those opportunities to have a positive impact through their workplace. Those two things alone make a huge difference. And then, you know, continuing to promote it all year long. We see various causes get support throughout the year, and companies can run specific events and opportunities throughout the year. But the most powerful way can also be empowering their people to be able to run, you know, special giving opportunities or fundraising campaigns to start movements within the company. So we're seeing lots of great tactics from companies who leverage these programs to engage their workers in that deeper sense of meaning and connectedness to each other and a global community.
Sona, I want to ask you about the idea that Benevity is a unicorn company. You think of normally of that in context of disrupting certain sectors or industries. Tell me a little bit about this, about the growth trajectory and whether or not you see maybe competition.
Yeah, absolutely. So we reached unicorn status last December, and we really started with this mindset of, you know, traditional philanthropy, if it were going to work, would have worked by now. And so it had been very much a top-down or high net worth activity with CEOs, you know, rallying employees or even their customers around causes that they mostly care about or that are important to the business itself. But what we've seen in the last 13 years that Benevity's been in business is that if we can harness the power of, you know, every individual and activate that goodness in every individual by enabling them to support the causes they care about through their companies, so much more of a democratized process, we can actually affect a lot more change, a lot more social change if we get more people involved that way. So that's been the big disruption that that we've seen. And absolutely, we're seeing more players in the market coming in and supporting companies to run these programs. And that's good. That's good for business. We know that companies who run, you know, giving and volunteering programs tend to see about 57% less churn in their employees. So that's a powerful reason for businesses to engage and a powerful reason for them to leverage technology to scale these programs.
All right. Sona Khosla, Benevity's Chief Impact Officer. Thanks so much for being with us today and for those insights. We appreciate it. Coming up here on A Time for Change on this Giving Tuesday, fighting to make sure women and girls of color get a piece of the pie. Welcome back to A Time for Change. On this Giving Tuesday, for anyone making a donation, it's important to take a moment to think about how you give and to whom you give. You don't want to get scammed, of course, and you want to make sure that your money is actually going to make a difference. So luckily, there are some organizations that have done the homework for you. So if you're considering a donation, the Federal Trade Commission recommends first checking on the nonprofit through one of these sites, the Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance, Charity Navigator, Charity Watch, and Candid. So they'll help you verify that the charity is legitimate. They'll give you some important information on how your money might be spent. All right, we hope that helps. That's it for today's show. On behalf of myself, Marquise Francis, and Anjali Kamlani, thanks so much.